Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Well, 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 almost at the end here at Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
One day closer.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of like almost relationships, almost getting married proposals that I thought, let's just jump ahead and watch Hitched for the holidays.
Yeah, because the one thing that we've been missing this entire project was any representation of Hanukkah.
Right. And also, let's see them actually get hitched, because that's what the title implies.
Correct.
Right. And there's also a Jewish component. So there's a Hanukkah theme side story going. So we thought, let's bring that on. Okay. I think it was actually recommended by somebody who you were friends with who wanted some Jewish representation.
Correct. Well, not this movie specifically, but they were... Right.
Jewish representation.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Now, had she seen this movie, she might have felt differently. Correct. But anyway. Okay. So, you know, it's the usual. We meet the guy and then we meet the girl sort of separately, and we see them each in their own like world, you know, get a little taste of who they are.
Yep. In their own environments, their personalities within the opening montage.
Yeah. And we get to know their families right away.
Yes.
So the lead gentleman, this is very exciting. The character's name is Rob, but the actual actor playing him is Joey Lawrence.
Yeah, he's still up and at them.
Whoa. So, you know, for those of you who remember that from Blossom days, we're really dating ourselves. But anyway, Joey Lawrence is there looking old and bald. So,
he had hair in the movie. In his IMDb profile picture, he looks like a wanted criminal.
He didn't have a lot of hair.
No.
And he looked old. He looked old and like maybe he had some type of terminal disease.
He's been through some shit.
He did not look well. So, you know, he's opening up by talking about the latest girlfriend he's dumping, or because, you know, he's our usual can't ever get in a relationship dude. Right. So
afraid of commitment.
We got that stereotype going. His parents are super loving, over the top, love Christmas, decorate like hell. And they just, you know, they're confused by his behavior, but whatever. Right. He's also freelances for ad agencies. Am I remembering that?
Yes. Right? Yep. Yeah. It's not like a spoiler, but that's not really revealed until midway through the movie, but it plays no part.
Just the fact that he's a freelancer. So once again, doesn't like commitment. So he doesn't like to commit to a company, doesn't like to commit to women. He doesn't like to commit.
That's one of the notes I made, is that his inability to commit to a job is parallel to his inability to commit to a woman. So
that's him. Not a bad guy, but that's him. But we do get to see pretty early on him visiting his very ill grandmother, Evie, in the hospital or the nursing home or whatever it is. And she's basically told him she's not going to live past New Year's Day at the most. That's pretty much what they've given her. And he's like, well, in that case, Grammy, like, you know, or Nana or whatever he called her.
Nana sounds right.
Yeah. So I'll give you anything you want for Christmas. What do you want? You name it. You got it. And of course, because this is a totally normal thing to do to somebody who's clearly unattached. She says what she wants for Christmas is to meet the woman who will become his wife.
I want to see my favorite grandson happy.
Yes. See, I want to see you settle down. She's not saying she needs to see the wedding per se, but she needs to see the woman. Right. Right.
Yeah.
And he's desperate to make her last days happy. So on the spot, he says, funny you should say that. I have a surprise. I'm very serious with a girl and her name is, and he looks around and he sees a rose in a glass and he says, Rosemary, Rosemary. Her name is Rosemary. Mary.
The Mary, I have no idea where that was pulled from. I don't know where that came from.
I don't even know why there was such a focus on that, since it gets dumped pretty quickly. But anyway, he's going to introduce her to Rosemary. So all very exciting. Meanwhile,
indeed.
Right. We're meeting Julie as well. Yep. Julie is cute as a button, really good looking, big, thick head of like dark wavy hair.
I've never seen Schitt's Creek, but she has a big role in that show.
Yeah, she's, so for those of you who are Schitt's Creek people, she's the one that runs the inn. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she's the one with the really like smart ass attitude that ends up being best friends and sort of hooking up with David. So that's who it is. And she's looking very beautiful in this film, very beautiful. So she's Jewish. Her mother, Mary Lou Henner. So we've got some names in this one. Mary Lou Henner is your typical, very stereotypical Jewish mom trying to set her up. Again, very anxious that she doesn't have somebody.
She's way over the top with this.
Yeah, inviting ex-boyfriends over, trying to hook her up with all different people for the entire holiday season. Right.
So the movie starts in Thanksgiving, everywhere, like both ends, and Maxine Green, the mom, has invited one of Julie's ex-boyfriends over for Thanksgiving dinner. And while the women are in the kitchen preparing dinner, because that's how it works, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
The mom keeps on going, now keep your posture up, stand straight, smile, and just barking commands so she can continue to make an impression on her ex.
Her ex-boyfriend, who's now a successful podiatrist, but is boring as a potato.
Yep.
And very stereotypical, like boring doctor dude.
Yep. And so, kind of a perv.
Yeah, little ick. Yeah, but we don't really know that yet. But he's kind of ick. But he's just ick. So she can't believe she ever liked him. She can't believe her mother keeps trying to set her up. So she's complaining to her good friend at work, Molly.
Yep.
And at the same time, this disgusting, completely toxic male named
misogynistic.
Yeah, he's like if you drew a caricature of everything that we say men are that make men bad. This is him.
So to further dive into that, they work they work at a newspaper. Julie is the theater movie reviewer. Critic.
Yeah,
I don't know what Molly does, but Huck is the sports reporter, and just imagine any traditional sports guy and
bad stereotypes, like mean, awful stereotypes, and he is openly harassing her. Like there's no way HR would stand for the way he talks to her, but there he is. So between all of that, Julie is like, I gotta make this stop. So Molly suggests she go on personal ads and find a make-believe dude for the holidays so her mom will stop setting her up.
So, yeah, it turns out that she goes on to the equivalent of Craigslist. So this movie was made back in 2012, where Craigslist still had the personal ads.
And at the same time, Rob is getting the same suggestion, from his
friend Patrick.
Yes. Basically, like, find a girl to pretend to be your girlfriend and meet your grandmother so she can die in peace.
Yep.
And he suggests he go looking on this list. So he looks, he sees Julie's ad, magic happens, they meet, they basically hammer out the details of what's required of each of them.
So this is basically what we would expect Holiday to have been.
Right. Well, actually, it's funny because it's now like the fourth movie we've seen where people are going to pretend to be in a relationship for other people.
True.
So clearly a trope. Clearly a trope. So they're going to pretend to be in this relationship. The only difference is Holiday were strangers as well, but they sort of bumped into each other and it led to that. These are strangers who met for this purpose.
Correct.
Right. So they're a lot more amicable about the whole thing. Right. And they knock out sort of the details. They're not going to get into the whole religious thing because they're not really dating each other. So they're just going to pretend at each other's houses and not worry about that. Cause what does it matter?
Right. So the first thing, the first quote unquote date they go on is a work party. I think it's for Julie.
Yeah. And Julie wants him there because she doesn't want Huck to hit on asked her to the party, but yeah.
So, for no reason whatsoever. Rule one was hands off. We're not going to touch each other.
Yep. But then Huck walks over and she starts madly kissing Rob. So that Huck will back off, right? Yep. Immediately after setting down the hands off rule. But here's my favorite part. This is one of the made up conflicts. For no reason at all, Rob has too much to drink and acts like an ass at the party.
Oh, yeah.
There's no reason for that. There's no controversy. Nobody's upset.
Nope. One of the notes that I wrote was the dancing scene, not so much the whole dancing scene, but after Julie realizes that Rob is super drunk and she dances herself back into the floor and she's like dancing like a robot and she really looks like Elaine Bennis. So I don't know.
Some bad dancing over this holiday season.
Yep.
Okay. So she calls the whole thing off. Like, screw you.
Julie says, you know, going forward, you really need to make sure you don't drink as much and calm yourself down. Rob's basically like, you can't tell me what to do. Fuck off. We're done.
Yeah. So that was such nonsense that I actually got it confused because to me, it seems like she should have been the one saying that. But anyway, he says that in typical holiday movie style, he realizes his mistake almost immediately and begs for her forgiveness the next day.
So, through the Craigslist messaging system is how he apologizes.
Yeah. Yep. So now we're all back on. So I don't know what that fight was about. It made no sense at all. And now we're basically, we don't know if we're going to get the timeline right here because it was confusing, but we're bouncing back and forth between families. So there's a visit to the hospital.
Yep. Grandmother's first.
Grandmother. Yep. And so here's why I don't understand the Rosemary thing. Cause he doesn't pretend her name is Rosemary and call her that. He calls her Julie and just says to his grandmother, yeah, her name's Rosemary, but my nickname for her is Julie, which makes
she's like a jewel.
Yeah. And grandma buys it.
And grandma's just like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
They get along great. So grandma's completely on board. All awesome. Right.
She's happy. She's happy. Rob is settling down with someone who's beautiful.
Yeah. So nice. Now we're off to Julie's house for the first night of Hanukkah, where for some reason she doesn't prepare him at all because she's afraid he's going to back out. So he knows nothing about anything. And the family allows him to light the first candle because he's their guest and they think he's Jewish.
I like this part because Julie said, you know, it's just going to be the four of us, meaning Julie, Rob, and Julie's parents.
So it'll be easy. No problem.
Right. You don't have to worry about much. She rings the doorbell. And I don't know if you heard, but it was Hava Nagila that played as the ringer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that Julie's brother, Sam, is there with his wife and
he just happens to be a rabbi.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's more people, more pressure.
And more professional Jewish people.
Correct.
Knows all the rules, right?
Yep.
So she helps him out at first. He goes to light the wrong candle and she says, let's do this together. Yep. And guides his hand to the right candle. And then he thinks he's done, but she guides his hand to light the other candle. And they want him to say the prayer. And she begs to say, because it's her favorite and helps lead him. It isn't really. She's just doing this all to help him. And we think, phew, we got through that. Except when it's all over at the end of the prayer, he says, amen, and blows out the candles.
And the family,
nobody ever really makes a big deal out of that.
Right. The family's just like, all right, let's eat.
Weird, right?
And then that's weird. Let's eat.
Yeah. So next we're at Julie's family doing Christmas stuff.
You mean Rob's family?
I mean, Rob's family. Oops. I told you it was confusing. We're Rob's family. Julie's there. They're doing Christmas stuff. She breaks a precious family heirloom ornament.
Yep.
But nobody.
They want her to get involved, so they say hang something. So she there's a big box of ornaments, and she finds like the one tradition family heirloom.
It's been in the family for 100 years, and smashes it to pieces.
Correct.
Again, just like the blowing out of the candles, it doesn't seem to put anybody off. Everybody's so excited she's there. So I don't understand why those two events happened, except to say that, to show that they were awkward in each other's homes, because there were no consequences to those. So
no consequences to either. I guess just to show how the other is connecting with the other family, like they're there.
Yeah.
And how the family is accepting of the person who isn't who isn't part of their religion, I guess is that part. Right.
But the best part of this little Christmas get together is two things. We find out some exposition. We find out, because Rob is warming up to Julie and they're really getting close, he tells her that his mom used to occasionally leave for a few days and nobody knew where she was. And that the last time that happened, it was on a Christmas day, and it made him really sad, and he thought she was never coming back. So this is, of course, planted so that we can see the seeds of his fear of commitment, because he's afraid people will leave.
So while they're still at the house,
the doorbell rings.
Yep, they're eating dinner and the doorbell rings, and the mom's like, who could this be? I didn't invite anyone else. And she walks to the door, opens it, and
it's the grandmother, because she was so happy about Julie that she now is feeling much better and is not acting like she's on death's door. And here she is, and she's all made up and her hair is done, and she's like better than ever.
Yep, she checked herself out of the facility and just made her way to the house,
because she's doing great,
so she can celebrate Christmas like she always has.
Yes. So, so this is all going well. There's another trip to Julie's house and more candles being lit, but this time he has studied up.
Oh, before we get to that, just a quick note, while they were still at Rob's house, Julie ended up under the mistletoe.
Oh, right. I forgot that. Well, she didn't end up under it. They made them do that.
And
made
correct.
Them kiss.
Yeah, they made. So Julie ends up under the mistletoe, and the rest of the family forces them to kiss. And they take a picture of them kissing under the mistletoe. That's not awkward
at all. Correct. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Not awkward at all. And and then we're back at Julie's house, and we're lighting more candles, but this time he has studied up. He's wearing a yarmulke, and he knows all the prayers, and he fits right in. So things are looking good.
Correct.
They're looking, they also decide they're definitely spending New Year's Eve together as well. They're going to go to a friend thing with him and then end up at her company party. Yep. Because it's near Times Square, and they're going to watch
throughout this whole time period. You know, they're as you can expect at this point, they're starting to connect on a more personal and real level as they get
There's musical montages as they get to know each other and really connect and are really getting along very well.
Yep.
Okay. So is this where they two families decide to have dinner?
Before we get to that, they do actual Christmas at Rob's place, and everyone opens gifts. The family gives Julie a gift of a
framed picture of them kissing under the mistletoe.
Correct. So the rest of the scene's pointless, but to get to where Deirdre was about to say, it cuts to Julie's family's house, and the phone rings, and the mom picks it up, and it ends up being Rob's mom. I don't know how they ended up getting her phone number, but they did, and they invite the family over for dinner.
Yes, to all like get to know each other.
Yes.
So of course now they're like, uh-oh.
Right.
Now they're going to find out about the whole Jewish Catholic thing, right?
Correct.
So how are you going to handle this?
So in one of the more bizarre things, it suggested that Rob tell his parents to take down all the Christmas decorations because it offends him. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, they'll just be like, you know what? We'll just not have dinner because we'd rather have our Christmas.
He tells them he's converting to Judaism.
Right.
And he thinks that's going to piss them off so much that they'll cancel dinner. But right. instead, they cover the house in Hanukkah decorations. Correct. They turn their tree into a Hanukkah tree by buying every dreidel in Staten Island. And they've got what looks like menorahs at first glance everywhere, but they aren't because they were out of menorahs. So they're Kwanzaa.
Correct. So there's only like six. I think there was six.
Seven. I think there's seven.
Seven.
Yeah. One short. But so the family comes over and they walk into what looks like Hanukkah threw up all over Christmas in Rob's house. That's what it looks like.
Yep.
And they keep saying shalom. And again, it's weird, but nobody seems to be like, maybe this is all a big lie. And the next thing you know, they're dancing some traditional Jewish dances, and the grandmother almost dies.
Yep. She passes out. Something happens. She just falls on the couch.
Yeah.
And that turns the situation into a panic, and we cut to the hospital.
She might die, you know, and everybody now thinks it's their fault. And
that's one of the notes I had. Everyone's taking blame from everyone else.
Right. And is this where it leads to the big confession?
Yeah. So it wasn't so much a it was a confession, but it's led on.
Yeah.
As everyone is saying, you know, it's my fault. No, it's my fault. No, it's my fault. Rob's parents, mic drop the fact that Rob converted to Judaism.
Yeah.
And the Julie's mom and dad, they were told something completely different.
That everybody's sick of the big lie. The truth comes out. And they just are basically, you know, sorry. And they're honest about it. Rob says he did it because he wanted to give his grandmother that wonderful last wish.
Correct.
And Julie says to her mom, I did it because I couldn't stand you
trying to dictate my dating life.
And so then the mom says, I was doing that because I wanted you to forget about last year. So it turns out last year she was gonna get married on New Year's Eve and the wedding was called off right beforehand. And it's implied through the entire movie that she was dumped. So everybody's trying to save her from being upset. When she told Rob that it happened, she didn't say that he dumped her, but it sounded that
it was broken off. The wedding was broken off. It was said in a way
it sounds. So now she fesses up, mom, I got to tell you the real truth. I broke up with him because I didn't love him. And it really was me. So you don't have to worry about me.
Right. And so Rob phrases it in a way where he says, yes, we were using each other. And that upsets Julie.
Yep.
Julie says, yeah, I guess we were using each other, and storms off.
Did not like the use of the words using. And Rob did not like that she had lied about what he thought was a lie by omission about how her marriage got called off.
So
what it is the nonsense fight that has to happen where everybody's way angrier than the situation calls for.
Yep. The super shoehorned conflict.
Yeah. So if you guys have been paying attention at all, you know, there's one in every single movie. So this is the one. And so
to take a couple of steps back, we were talking about the New Year's parties. Mm-hmm. Julie mentioned that it's important, since we were talking about her breaking up the wedding on New Year's. Mm-hmm. She was still kind of letting it on that, you know, she was the one who was broken up with. So Rob says, and I quote, I'll be there with you at midnight, referring to New Year's Eve. You have my word.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit earlier than where we are now, but it comes into play at the end.
So the next thing we know, we're at New Year's Eve and he's sad.
Oh, wait, before we get to that, also this at this point is when we find out Rob is an ad exec and he's freelance and his parents don't like the fact that he jumps around. Because
we actually found that out earlier, but this is the point where he gets a job offer.
Right. So his boss at his current place comes up to him and says, hey, we want to bring you on full time. What do you say? And Rob is hesitant and says, I'll think about it.
And he says he can't have his wings clipped and he doesn't think he's going to do it. But then he decides to do it. He comes back too late. They've hired somebody else. So he is super miserable right now.
Correct.
The girl of his dreams, he's pissed at. He doesn't have this new job. He's bumming out. And she is also bumming out at her party where she's getting hit on relentlessly by Huck. And she's like this.
Well, no, first she's at a party with Foot Guy.
Foot Guy comes to the party with her.
Well, no, because they were at a party. He goes off to talk to another woman who's not wearing shoes. And then she leaves to go to the work party.
Really? It was two parties? I meshed those parties in as one. I thought she took him to the work party and then foisted him off on the woman taking her shoes.
Nope.
Okay. Nope. So there's a creepy moment where a podiatrist doctor goes and, you know, she's like honest with him. I don't really like you. And he's like, that's okay, because that woman's feet are bare and I'm a sicko. So I'm going to go over and fondle her toes or whatever it is.
Basically.
By the way, I actually had somebody in Vegas pay for my drinks if I let him take pictures of my feet and my shoes. So anyway, just
wasn't expecting that story to come out.
That was a little side note. Anyway, you know, foot fetish can be fun. It can be profitable.
You never know what you get here at Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Right. So yeah. So everybody's miserable. Everybody's at their respective parties. And after Huck really hits on her hardcore, she just decides, you know what? She's going to go. Now, of course, time works really slowly at this moment, because really she should be all gone by the time anything else happens. Because meanwhile, Rob is, for no reason whatsoever, getting a call from the boss that he's changed his mind.
Yep. He gets a message saying, yeah, you were the first person I asked. I still want you. You have it if you still want it.
And the grandmother has said to him, basically, I don't care if it was a lie. Julie is the best girl ever. And you should.
Because the parents call Rob and say, we're at the hospital. Something's happening with your grandmother. So he rushes off to the hospital. It turns out the grandmother's just fine. They only did this to bring Rob back to his mom because, side story, the mom has visions.
Yes, right. She sees visions.
Yes.
Oh, he also asks her, by the way, during the whole confession thing, why did you used to leave? And she was like, oh, I was really overwhelmed and I didn't want to leave for good. So I just used to leave a little bit.
Right. She said that she would like leave for like 3 or 4 hours to watch a movie. And that's a super conflict with the family.
Or a day or so. And the dad like supported it and loved her through it. And it turns out it wasn't her abandoning them. It was her keeping from abandoning them. So that gets resolved. She also thinks she has visions and that she's a psychic. So during that visit, she says, oh, my God, I see you riding on a horse.
Yep. Nothing else. That's it.
And he's like, you're not psychic, Mom. You never were. Blah, blah, blah. And Grammy's like, get back with, you know, Julie, you dumbass.
Right.
So off he goes to the party because now work is all set. Grammy's told him he's got to go with Julie and he's got resolution with Mom. So off he goes just in time to see her leaving, and he's kind of far away and traffic is terrible and he can't
because it's New Year's Eve in New York City, so so of course you're going to get to where you want to when you want to.
So no chance, and she's in a taxi and she's off going away. So what does he do? He spots a horse,
a cop horse,
policeman that's just sitting there while the cop's dealing with something, and he jumps on and rides through, you know, the traffic because he can go in between the cars.
Yep. Actual like galloping through traffic.
Catches up with her, and the cop catches up with him, and he's professing his love, and he says to the cop, I'm sorry, it was there and it was the only way to get to her, and it's all about true love. And he says, is that right, you know, miss? And she says, I think so. And then he says, well, then it's okay, which would never happen with a mounted New York cop.
So meanwhile, a crowd is starting to gather around.
They're all excited about this.
Because Rob fell off the horse. That startled people. The confrontation with the cop brought some more people in.
Yep.
The cop is left and everyone is still watching what's about to unravel.
Yes. With the I don't even know what, I don't remember what happens then. Do they kiss?
Yeah, this is the moment where they confess that, you know, they actually were in love with each other.
Yeah.
And they kiss, and everyone was still watching, and it made no sense, and gave them a round of applause. And then, because time is fucking stupid, it's the final countdown to the new year.
Yeah. Yep. And then we get a little update on where everybody is. And apparently the grandmother is still alive. The Jewish mother, Maxine, becomes a matchmaker. Very stereotypical and stupid. Yep. And what happens with everybody else?
I honestly shut it off after
the mom. Don't even remember? One. Okay, yeah.
Nope.
So, yeah. I mean,
all my note says was, oh, fuck this stupid ending.
Yeah. So there was that. So what do you give it, Brendan?
All right, so I'm kind of conflicted. I hated everyone except for Rob, Julie, and Molly, the friend.
I hated everyone except for Julie.
I could see that. I could see people hating.
I loved Julie.
So the both families were incredibly awful and stupid.
So cartoonish. So cartoonish.
I know Huck was written to be hated, but it went well beyond any sort of movie hatred.
To me, it was insulting to men the same way like a lot of movies make parents stupid and or like dad's stupid, you know, and the mom is so smart and the dad's so dumb, like, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond. But I don't like those. I think they're insulting.
I thought Rob, Julie, and Molly were the only characters that were somewhat normal.
Yeah.
Julie, probably the most normal out of everyone.
The storyline was nonsense, bullshit, crap that they would ever have met on that thing. Nobody would give a crap about the blowing out the candles or the weird Hanukkah tree. It made no sense. It was completely unbelievable. I give it a 2 because Julie is pretty.
So there was a lot of things weird about the writing. Like there was a moment where they consensually kissed with each other and then they ran into a taxi. I thought that they were going to have sex and then it just cut to them with the family and they didn't touch upon that ever again. So I don't know about that. I also gave it a 2. Again, probably more because of Julie than Rob, even though I thought Rob was written kind of strong, but Julie was definitely the best character. The actress did a really good job with this shit that she was handed.
And she was delightful and I wanted to date her. So yeah. but that was it. That's the 2. So I'm down to the bottom of my eggnog. So it might be time to hit straight whiskey at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I will take a vodka soda, 2 limes, as our good friend Rob would.
And then we will forget this ever happened.
Yeah, this is what happens when we actually watch a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, so shalom and Feliz Navidad.
And I can't add to that. Bye.